Those of you that weren't here last night, I'm your brother Gary from Tulsa, Oklahoma. You just haven't met me yet, but we're family. We all have the same father. If we don't have the same father, we're going to have an altar call at the end of the service, and we can have the same father. They've been treating me terrible, putting me up in this wonderful home and forcing me to eat this fine Mexican food that you have here, and it's just been horrible, but I'm suffering through it. You know, everywhere I go, they treat me so well that I think when I finally get to meet the Apostle Paul, whenever that'll be in heaven, you know, and I read about what all he went through with the shipwrecks and the stonings and the beatings, you know, and you know, if he's watching, if he's able to see what's with my life, I don't know if he's going to be sanctified enough not to slap me when I get there, you know. He says, "You had it too easy." Well, go ahead and open up to John 14. Yes. Okay, he's coming now as a teacher. I never know hardly where I'm going to start. I have some images in me that I think we're going to get to tonight. Of course, I think that sometimes, and it's 4 years later. But anyway, you know, that's why you got to be careful with prophets. And I'm not a prophet, but I know a couple of real ones. Not, you know, real ones don't usually tell you that's what they are. You know, a prophet, they only see things one way. It's black and white. This is it. You know, here's what God said: obey God or die. Let's go have lunch. I mean, that, you know, that's their only responsibility, is to bring you word for word what God said. And there's no point trying to pry out any more information from them. It took me a long time to realize they don't have any more information. They don't know any more about it than what I... All they know is what God said. And once they've delivered that, they're through, you know. And I'm going, but, you know. But prophets, everything they see normally is now. You know, it's like, thus saith the Lord. And it's really God, and you can feel the anointing. It's really God, you know. And you're shaking to your boots, and this and this and this is going to happen. And bam, you know, and you're going, wow. And you're looking for it next week, and he's looking at it in your 60s. I'd like to tell you where I am now. Well, that's the way it is with the things of God. You get over in the spirit, and time loses a lot of its meaning. You know, you wind up in the first stages. Those of you that have heard us teach about praying in other tongues, and you first start doing that, it's every 5 minutes seems like 2 hours, you know, while you're praying in tongues. But if you ever cross over, if you ever make it over into the realm of the Spirit, you can lose days. And you say, how did that happen? Where? Anyway, we're going to get into some of that, I think, tonight. Normally, when I start here in John 14, and when I do this, I'm sorry, I only work here. There's incoming. I got to make sure I'm getting his instructions right. See, okay, we're family, right?
Yes.
We can talk. Mm-hmm. Did y'all ever get jealous of the 12? Mm-hmm. I used to be so jealous of those guys. I mean, I said, this is not fair. I'd read about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they'd get to follow with him. They'd get to sit around. You know, if they traveling from town to town, maybe they camped out once in a while and they're sitting around. Can you picture getting to sit around the campfire and just listen to Jesus? And then you could ask him questions and he would answer. And if you didn't understand something, you know, you could ask him. And I could just see him with those piercing eyes but full of love. And he would take all the time that there is with you, and because he loves you, he's going to die for you after all. Man, I'd say, this is not fair. Peter and John and these guys, they got to talk to you and fellowship with you. And I bet there was jokes told and I don't know what all. You know, I mean, this was real. And you're in heaven now. And I'm on planet Earth. And I appreciate your book, but Lord, it's just not the same, you know. And I said, I'm supposed to follow. You know, you had said go and make disciples. And it just doesn't seem fair to me that they got to walk with you. And I don't get to do that. I'm probably the only one that's ever was like that. You don't have to answer. But one day. See, the trouble is when you talk to God, he'll talk back. One day he just told me, he says, well, you can know me as well as the Apostle Paul, who knew me better than Peter. Paul never walked with me. But you have the same teacher that Paul had. And I got to thinking about that. Now, who was it that had to correct who? You remember Peter when the uppity-ups came from Jerusalem, he put down his barbecued pork. He quit eating with the Gentiles and went back to the kosher food, you know. And who was it had to straighten him out? It was Paul. But Paul himself, he never traveled with Jesus. He never would sit around those campfires with Jesus. He was taught by the same teacher that we have. And that teacher is the Holy Ghost. So John 14, early on, this was a chapter that just 14, 15, 16, and 17. If I could only have those a few chapters out of the Bible, it would be John 14 through 17. My favorite passages. But this is where Jesus starts telling them that he's going to leave. And I'm not going to belabor this. Many of you, if you've heard me teach much, you've heard me teach on this before. I'm not going to get into micro tonight. We're going to try and do a macro because he's got something he wants to show you. But this is a good starting point. For those that really want to be his disciples, would you say these guys wanted to be his disciples? They had left everything to follow him. And they have seen everything. 3.5 years. Not only have they seen all these miracles, God has done miracles through them. I mean, how would you like to be one of those where you broke the loaves and the fishes and it just kept multiplying? Your eyes would get bigger. There's thousands of people. It says, 5,000 men besides women and children. What is there, 10, 12,000? You're breaking these loaves and fishes and they just, you know. And you've left everything. Plus you've had some persecution. There's been trouble. But you're so glad you left and followed him. And now he's telling you he's leaving? Can you imagine what was going through their minds? It had to be, well, is this over? What do you mean you're leaving? Has it all been just for this 3.5 years and now it's over? That's when he begins introducing to them this Holy Spirit who is to come. So let's pick it up here. I'd like to go to Genesis 1 and get to here, but anyway, for teaching's sake tonight, let's just say this. Let's start in verse 9. No, I can't start there. Start in verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. Now let's just stop right there for a minute. I won't belabor this point. I grew up in a denominational church, and to be honest with you, they loved the Lord. They absolutely loved the Lord. Get saved, you know, go to heaven there. But a lot of things that they believed just weren't scriptural, you know. When they pray for the sick, they were very timid to do it. And they would always ask, Lord, if it be thy will. You know, and because they weren't sure if it was his will. I mean, a lot of the way they had been taught and the way they taught me, well, maybe it might have been God, you know, put that sickness on them for some reason. Maybe it was that car, you know, car wreck was good for you. And just this verse here, Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Man, that put me on a quest for the next year or two. I went through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just reading them over and over and over again. Till finally there was an image of Jesus burned on the inside of me that it's never left me since. And I don't see Jesus putting cancer on anybody. I don't see Jesus putting sickness of any kind on anybody. I don't see Jesus causing donkey wrecks. That would be car wrecks today. I don't see him stopping anybody's business. I mean, all of those things that they said might be God. If God did that, you'd see Jesus doing it. But he doesn't do those things. What you do see is what it says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing what? doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He wasn't confused where that stuff was coming from. It wasn't God putting that sickness on those people. It was the devil. So he went about doing good and healing them all. Hallelujah. If the church would just get that, we'd be miles ahead of where we are right now in this country. Well, let's go on though a little while here. It says, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now notice, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I'm just trying to put myself in the place of Peter. You know, we all can relate with Peter. He would ask the questions that we were too holy to ask. You know, Lord, what are we going to get out of this? You know, we've left everything to follow you. I just put myself in Peter's place here. And he's talking about leaving. And the works that he did, we're going to do. I like that part. What's this about you leaving? So he starts introducing here. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And for years I didn't get what he meant there. He says, now look, you're never going to have to go through this again. I know right now you're sad because you don't want me to go, but I have to go. But I'm telling you, this other comforter that's coming, and let's be honest, put yourself in their shoes. They didn't want another comforter. They wanted him. But he's telling them, you're going to have to go through this. I'm going to send you another comforter, but you'll never have to go through this again. This one, this comforter that's coming, the Holy Ghost, he tells him, he is going to abide with you forever. You're not ever going to go through this again. Thank God for that. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That word comfortless in the Greek is O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S. You see, what he's really saying, I'm not going to leave you like an orphan. I'm not going to leave you like an orphan. Be honest with you, that's the way I felt probably the first 12 years of my Christianity. Now, Sue and I got, that's my wife, Sue, we got radically saved. I mean, before Jesus, we were, money was our God. We were in the world, and every decision we made was about money. We had a real estate business. We also, that's a good business, by the way. But the way I did it, I had 60 agents working for me. Every problem deal came to my desk. Plus, I also had a little construction company I was running. I was burning the candle at both ends, and the stress began to wear on me. And I started drinking alcohol to try and cope with that. And over a period of time, that got really bad. Burning the candle at both ends. Really, we were burning out. So, also, we worked hard, so we felt like we ought to party hard, you know. So, man, on Friday nights, we'd go to the bars, and now Sue never did really get drunk, but I would get drunk to go drinking. That's serious. I'd be drunk before we left the house, and then we'd go drinking. Don't even remember driving home a lot of nights. It had to be the grace of God that got me home without a car wreck or something, you know. That was our life. But I'm telling you, when we received Jesus, it was a complete reversal. Never went back to the bars again. I took my last drink in 1980. I've never had another one since. I never could be motivated by money from that point on. Now, he still had more to teach me about money, okay? But I never could be motivated by it from that point on. Our lives radically changed. And we did everything that we could to serve God. I mean, the guy that led us to the Lord had a prison ministry. I would go with him once in a while to learn about that. Well, he eventually moved to Indiana, and Sue and I just kind of inherited the prison ministry. So we did that for 6 years, and there was a lot of fruit, you know. People got saved, people got healed, people got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And we did it all at our own expense. No church was funding us or anything. You just go make your own money and go use it for the gospel. Hallelujah. And we did other things. I mean, you know, whatever there was available, we would do it. But these were the years of being really jealous of the 12. That wasn't the same. I mean, Peter, when he'd wake up in the morning, he'd get his instructions from the master. Jesus would say, I want you to go do this, I want you to go do that. Once some days it was go loose the colt, another day it was rent the upper room. You know, I'm sure they had assignments on a daily basis, things that he would tell them to do. And I didn't seem to have any leadership like that. I had a love for the Lord. I had been born again. I knew I was on my way to hell. And by the way, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I could shine and die right along with anybody, but I didn't do it very much. I didn't know there was any reason to do it. And so, you know, I didn't pray hardly in tongues, but for that first 12 years, I got to tell you, a lot of the time, I kind of felt like an orphan. We were doing like, we're just, you ever hear that old deal where, you know, the guy's throwing all this stuff at the wall and just hoping something sticks? That's, we were just doing everything we could for the Lord and just hoping some of it was His will, you know. we'll hope some of this, and that's okay. I mean, that's a good walk. I mean, He says you can't even give a cup of cold water in My name and lose your reward for it. I mean, be honest with you, I think most of the church is walking pretty well that way, unless you get to the place where you can hear Him. Okay, I'm going to fast forward here now, or we're never going to make it to the images. Fast forward 12 years of that, and then we wind up one day walking. I was 45 years old the day that we walked through the doors of the prayer center. And begin to hear our pastor now, who is Dave Roberson. Pastor Dave Roberson began teaching us more about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because really what Jesus was saying here, He says, this Holy Spirit who's coming, let me see if I can find the verse. He says, look at verse 26 of John 14. He says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father, excuse me, whom the Father, just a minute. That is, whom the Father will send in My name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. God didn't turn you over to an angel to be taught. There's a lot of ministries right now that are, I could, but I'm not going to tell you of a website where you can go to that website and learn the name of your personal angel. Flaky as a $3 bill, I'm telling you right now. But they're serious about it. And they honestly believe that angels have been dispatched to teach us. Now, we find angels in the New Testament. They are messengers, and they bring messages from God. But Jesus didn't say, I'm going to turn you over to an angel to be your teacher. I'm not going to turn you over to an angel. You know, the image is an orphan. I'm not. Who's coming is one that's going to adopt the orphan. He's going to be your helper. He's the comforter. He's the paracletos. He's the one that's, He's going to lead you and guide you and teach you. And He's never, ever, ever going to leave you. See? But how do you react with Him? How do you interact with Him? How do you obtain that leadership? I didn't know. I knew that verse was in the Bible. Well, Pastor Dave began to teach us, and we have volumes on that. In fact, there is a volume. Dave wrote a book. I highly recommend it to you. It's called The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. That book, it's not that thick. What, about an inch thick? That's condensed 30 years of ministry. 30 years of learning about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And you can have it in a little book. I used to make a habit of reading that book in its entirety once every 6 months, just to make sure that I kept everything current. At this point, I don't do that all the time now, but every now and then again, it's good to go back and read that book again. I highly recommend it to you. Okay, end of commercial message, back to the... the book is... Anyway, it's wonderful. One more thing here before we launch out. I want you to go over and look at a verse, John 16, chapter 12. Chapter 16, verse 12. Now you've been, again, let's think like Peter for a minute. You've been following Jesus for 3.5 years. You've heard everything that He taught. You've sat around those campfires. You got to ask Him questions. And He says this to you after all that, verse 12. Now Peter, I know He was speaking to all of them, but it helps me to focus on Peter. Peter, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, if you're Peter, you're going, yeah, I can. What? You're leaving, but you've got things you want to tell me? Say on, Lord. Say on. I mean, wouldn't you be going, I can, come on, tell me. Tell me. Now, notice what he says. He didn't say, I'm just withholding it till later. He says, you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, before we even finish that verse, hold your place there and go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to understand why Peter could not bear them now. You couldn't have either if you'd have been there. I couldn't have if I'd have been there. At this moment, these people were not yet born again. They loved the Lord. They were doing their best to serve the Lord. They were following Him. But He was speaking to them in the wisdom that man's wisdom teaches. He was doing His best. Remember when He tried to talk to Nicodemus about heavenly things, and He was trying to bring it down to a earth, comparing it with the wind, and Nicodemus says, what? He says, I'm trying to explain spiritual things to you using earthly examples. How would you understand if I really told you about heavenly things? Well, see, here's the problem. Here's why he could not tell Peter the things that he wanted to. Because he wasn't born again. Now notice in 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 12, Paul is writing to the Corinthians. He knows these people are born again. Paul's the man that led them to the Lord. He says, now, in other words, now that we're born again, we have received not the spirit of the world. And notice it's a little s, and that's correct. It should be a little s. The spirit of the world is the spirit that's in every person born from their earthly mother. It's that nature passed down from Adam and Eve to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. Every human on planet Earth, no matter where you are on the planet, is born with that spirit of the world. It's what we call the fallen nature, the sin nature. It's what makes man man, what makes man sinful. He says, now, but once you're born again, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit, little s, and that's correct, which is of God. That is your new nature. That is what you received when you got born again. You went from being a child of the world, and say it that way, to being literally, spiritually, the offspring of Almighty God. You are born of God. You have a spirit on the inside of you. And notice what that means. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Those are the very things that he could not tell Peter. Because at that moment, Peter still had the spirit of the world. He did not have the spirit which is of God. And you're going to see here in just another verse or two, the things of God are not mentally understood first. They are spiritually understood first. The Holy Ghost is your teacher. Why? Because He's a spirit, and at your core, so are you. Yes. He communicates the things of God spirit to spirit. Now watch this. I'm going to read that verse again. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. If you write in your Bible, you could put inheritance right out there. That's your inheritance. He says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Now notice him comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I'd like to go into Chuck the Duck right here, and many of you know what that is. How many knows what Chuck the Duck is? Oh my God. Okay, I can't do that to you then. Let me tell you about Chuck the Duck. Chuck was a duck. Hello. Come back. But he happened to be raised by chickens. But he didn't know that he wasn't a chicken. He thought he was a chicken like the rest of them. He always thought he was just kind of odd, you know. So he'd watch them out there. The chickens would be scratching and pecking and getting their worms out of the ground. And, of course, he's trying to do the same thing. And he's got that big old wide bill. And he'd thunk, thunk, thunk on the ground. And it doesn't seem to work for him. But he just keeps trying because he knows he's a chicken. They keep telling him he is. And, he always had this tendency when he'd want to head towards the water. And his mother hen chicken would just peck on him. Don't you go near that water. Chickens don't go near the water. You stay away from there. He always felt like the odd duck out or the odd chicken out. Till one day he noticed there was a flock of ducks that landed in the water. And he saw them and he looked at them and he looked at himself. And he went over there and one of them started talking to him and he says, "How, what are you guys doing on the water? We're chickens. We can't be on the water." And they're going, "Who told you you're a chicken? You're not a chicken. Look at your bill and then look at my bill. I'm a duck. You're a duck. Look at your webbed feet. Look at my webbed feet. Do the chickens have webbed feet? No." In other words, he began talking duck things, comparing duck things with duck things, explaining the world to ducks because he really wasn't a chicken. This is what the Holy Ghost does. He has to come and begin comparing spiritual things. Once you're born again to spiritual things, you're not really a normal human anymore. He left us in these bodies. You know what these bodies really are? They're camouflage. The world thinks you're just a normal human like them. They don't know you're an invader from another world. You're children of the living God here on temporary assignment. They see you walking up and they go, "Oh, that's just another human like me." No, you're not. You're an invader from another world, come to snatch them out of hell, get them born again too. See? But the Holy Ghost has become our teacher, and what he does, it's just like Chuck the Duck, but he's come to tell us, you're not of the world anymore. Here, look at Jesus. He's our pattern. This is what I was saying, the message last night. Looking unto Jesus, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. He is the author and the developer of our faith. You want to really know who you really are? Look unto Jesus. Oh, I can't look unto Him. The whole purpose of God, you can read it in Romans chapter 8, is that He is conforming believers to the image of the Son. Well, the Son is the image of God. And God is He is molding us again into that image that He originally intended for man. You're not a chicken, little believer. So quit letting them feed you chicken food. You need duck food. You need spiritual food. And you get that from the Holy Ghost or people that's been with the Holy Ghost. See, that's why Paul says we're not speaking things that man's wisdom teaches. The things we're speaking, we learned it from the Holy Ghost. We're communicating it to you. It's exactly what I'm doing here tonight. So, I want to finish this over in 1 Corinthians 2. It says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man," the chicken man, the natural man, "he receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." Now notice, that would be bad enough. They're foolishness unto him. But notice this, "neither can he know them." That's what he was trying to tell Peter. "Peter, I have a lot of heavenly things to tell you. I have so many things I want to tell you, but you cannot know them. You cannot bear them, not until you're born again." And then when that happens, we have a teacher for your new nature. We have I like to call him, he is the new creature teacher. That's the Holy Ghost. He is the teacher of your new nature. And you get your instruction from him. Okay, now let me finish verse 14. "The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are" what? "They are spiritually discerned." The reason that there are, you know, the church is like Heinz 57. There's 57 flavors of church in every town you go to. They're all good people that love God for the most part. They love the Lord, you know, but the reason that there's 57 flavors of church in every town you go to practically, and probably more than that, that's man trying to understand an infinite God using a limited mind. They're trying to understand God and they're working hard at it. They build whole seminaries at it and still teach wrong. Why? These things are not mentally discerned. These things are first spiritually discerned. Then your mind has the privilege of coming into it. We'll just fast forward a little bit. I'm not going to try and teach the whole week tonight, but I'm just got to follow him the best I can. When Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 14 about he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, no man understands him, but howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Later on in that same chapter, he says, when I pray in an unknown tongue, it's my spirit praying, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, the understanding, the soul, the mind part of us, the adding machine, the computer processor, It's a good tool, but we're not really supposed to be led by our mind. Nowhere do you find that in the New Testament. We're supposed to be led by our spirit. Well, our spirit is the one that's in contact with the Holy Ghost. Romans 8 says that we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. For the longest time, that didn't make any sense to me, and then finally my lightning quick mind got it one day, like, why can't they be uttered? Oh, because I don't know how to pray as I ought. He just got through telling you. In plain English, we don't know what's wrong with us. We don't know His plan. When you first start this, you don't know His plan for your life. You don't know. You know, what am I? Apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, worship leader, singer, chair duster? Whatever I am, I just want to be that. But I don't know what it is. And I don't know what's wrong with me. Why do I keep making the same mistakes over and over again? We call those strongholds, impasses. It depends on who had you, you know, why you're like you are for the most part. But you know what? The Holy Spirit knows all of that. He knows the God's perfect plan for your individual life. That's why it was a stroke of genius for God to take away that prayer from our known language, take it away from the computer, because we don't know what to pray as we ought. And what He does, He gives you a prayer language. He literally prays God's plan for your life as though you already knew it. At that moment, your understanding is unfruitful, and that's why it seems like it takes forever. Praying in His other tongues, you don't even know what's being communicated, but at that moment, your spirit is in the classroom of the Holy Ghost. You are sitting there, and these mysteries are being communicated. Remember that verse I quoted? Howbeit in the Spirit, He speak in mysteries. I love how Dave puts that. He says, all right, now time out. We know you're speaking in another tongue. We know it says mysteries are being communicated. How many of you think that while that's happening, you are explaining mysteries to God? No. We're the ones that don't understand. While that communication, that mystery is being explained, He is explaining mysteries to you. And it's all kinds of mysteries. The understanding of God's Word is one of the things He's doing. Another thing He's doing, He's starting to pray God's plan for your life. We're going to look at a passage here in Ezekiel that really is a good picture of how He gets you over into God's plan for your life. But then also at the same time, He's also searching around that soul. He's looking around what we call the attic, where all the junk is. He's like, the Holy Ghost is God. You know, God is light. It's like all of a sudden you start praying in these unknown tongues. Not only is He explaining mysteries and explaining or praying God's prayer, God's plan for your life, He also going up in the attic. He's saying, okay, now we got any strongholds in here? Dave likes to use this analogy. You know, he says, well, Dave, I started doing that praying you was talking about, and I felt worse after I started praying for a while than I did before I started praying. And we all go, hallelujah, it's working. Because what's happened, He throws open the door to that attic where your soul and your... That's where all the hurts are. That's where all the emotions are. That's where all the resentments are and all disappointments and everything that you've slammed the door shut on those things trying to survive in this world. But yet they're crippling you because they've wounded you. You're not operating at full capacity. You're closed off in a big part of your soul. So what He does, it's like a big giant flashlight. God is light, you know. So He opens the door to the attic, shines that light in there. Your first reaction when you start seeing in there is like, look at all the dirt that this light brought. The light didn't bring the dirt. The dirt was already there, but the Holy Ghost, He begins shining the light on the dirt. You start seeing, oh my God, there's unforgiveness over in that corner, all boxed up. Look how dusty that is. I've been holding that for 25 years over there. We're not going to touch that, are we? And over there is where somebody really hurt me. I had to close that part of my soul off a long time ago. I didn't even want to go there. And that's why after you pray for a little while, a lot of times you'll just slam the door shut again. I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm going to go back to the first church where they told me I was okay. And you are okay. He loves you. I mean, you can serve God just like you are the rest of your life. But the way, for me, I don't know about you, but I hope God loves me enough not to leave me the way I am. I want to be different. I want to be more like Him the next time you see me than I am now. Well, anyway, all of these things have to do with the Holy Ghost. Now come back to John 16 for just a minute, and then we're going to go on a little journey back into the Old Testament. I love the types and shadows from the Old Testament. Sometimes those pictures, you just can't improve on them. So Here we're back to verse 12 of John 16 again. Now we understand why Jesus said to them, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And Jesus knew that the Holy Ghost was not going to come until after they were born again. So he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. It was the longest time before this little passage meant much to me. I mean, what do you mean he's not going to speak of himself? Well, you've got to keep it in the context of what's going on. Jesus is saying, look, boys, I know you've been following me for 3.5 years, but the time has come now. I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave and go be with the Father. Another comforter is going to come. Now, what he's telling them is this. Look, this other comforter that's coming, he's not going to speak on his own authority. Let's say it another way. He is not coming to replace my lordship. He is not coming to be your Lord. He is coming to bring my lordship to you. What he hears, that's what he's going to speak to you. It's a master stroke of genius. If it wasn't for this, we would all have to, if Jesus was still physically on the earth and his headquarters was still in Jerusalem, of course, nowadays we have email. I guess we'd get a daily email from Jerusalem, from the Master, you know, if he's going to individually lead us. But in those days, there was no such thing. You'd have to get on a boat somehow, go to Jerusalem. This is how every believer on planet Earth can have instant access to the mind of Christ all at the same time. Because he is God, but the Holy Spirit's God. The Holy Spirit is everywhere at once. He is with Jesus in heaven. He's with you and me and every other believer all at the same time. And we can all hear from Jesus by this method, by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has not come to replace the Lordship of Jesus. The Holy Ghost has come to bring us the Lordship of Jesus. This is how we can receive. I have no excuses. I can get instructions from the Master every day, just like Peter did. But the way it comes now is not sitting around a campfire. Well, I guess you could sit around a campfire. But the way it comes now is not from his lips to my physical ear. The way it comes now is the Holy Spirit hears it and communicates it to my spirit. And I get my instructions that way. Now, Jesus, this is where he's really speaking this to his disciples about him leaving. Let's back up a little bit in John. He actually prophesied this back in John 7. About him going to leave. And he said some things there about the Holy Ghost. Now he gives a lot more detail where we just were. Let's start in John 7. Look at verse 31. Many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Well, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Isn't he talking about that same event? He's prophesying ahead of time. You shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, well, whither will he go, that he shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this, that he said, you shall seek me and shall not find me, and whither I am, thither you cannot come? Now notice this. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now that's the new birth. We're going to back up here again. I'm going to show you where he said the same thing to the Samaritan woman. He's talking about the well that you drink from. The new birth is like a well. It's not like a river. It's like a well. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. But then he says, now he that once you drink, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, rivers is just a whole lot different than a well, isn't it? There's a big difference between a well and a river. Now, So there's no mistake in here. We have it what he meant, verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But he's prophesying. If you're thirsty, come and drink. That's the new birth. We're going to here back up and look at it over in John 4, I believe it is, with the Samaritan woman at the well. Yes. Okay. We'll just pick it up in verse 10. I know you know the story pretty well. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Now Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You have that everywhere you go. You could be in prison for the gospel. You could be, he might have you on the streets of Baghdad and bullets whizzing around your head as you pass out tracks. I'm just saying, I don't care how bad it gets. You can't go anywhere that you don't have that water on the inside of you. And that's a living water. And it's for, notice he says, it's in him. That well of water is your salvation. It's always bubbling up inside of you. But what he's, go back over to Romans. I keep saying Romans. Back over to John 7 for just a minute. Because the ministry of the Holy Ghost is different. See, his ministry to you as his child is from the inside to you. It's like a well. If you're thirsty, you can drink again and again and again. That's a well that never runs dry. But what he wants to do through you, now that comes by the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And he describes that as this river. And I'm just going to postulate to you, one of the things you can do to activate that process is to begin to speak those mysteries a lot in other tongues. Start letting those tongues come out of your belly, come out of your innermost person. That is your ministry. He knows the plan of God for your life. He knows if your job is to have millions of cattle all over the world and win people to Jesus while you do it, or if it's to travel like I do to Othello and teach and then go back somewhere else. He knows what your ministry is. And the Holy Ghost is the one that's been assigned to take you like that little orphan. You can quit going and banging your head against the wall, trying this, trying that, trying this over here, and finally say, I give up. I'm tired of trying to figure this out. I'm just going to sit here and let the Holy Ghost pray it out. And he will pray out God's perfect plan for you. Yeah. And as you start letting those rivers flow out of you, that's the first step. Now, eventually, it's going to be more than that. It's rivers of living water.
Yes.
And there's a perfect picture of this. Go back to Ezekiel 47. And he was giving me confirmation on this part, even during the worship tonight. You guys started singing about that river. There is a river that makes glad the heart of God, or the city of God. And I'm going, okay, I heard that, Lord. I got you. So, I like it when he gives me a witness, because I already had this image of this river in me. But this is perfect. This is exactly Ezekiel 47 is where we're going. It's on page 1196 in your Bible. just chapter 47, we're going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read quite a bit of it here, and then I'm going to come back and exhort over just a little bit. See, we are the temple of God. You're going to notice here that this river flows from the temple of God. Collectively, we are the temple of God. Today, God's temple is not made with stones, but it's being made with lively stones. You're one of those lively stones. Collectively, we're the temple of God, but hey, if you're the only believer there, you're individually the temple of God. It flows out of you. He has a ministry that's going to flow out of you. And Holy Spirit's job is to cause that to come forward. Well, here's a perfect picture of it right here. So starting in Ezekiel 47, verse 1, it says, afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way at the gate northward, and led me about the way with and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. So get the picture. Here's this water that's coming out of this house. It's coming out of the temple. When the man that had the line in his hand went forward eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, and he brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. Now notice, afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. But now I want you to see the effect of that river. Now watch the rest of it. We're going to come back to that part. Well, watch what the effect of this river is if it ever really flows. He said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out towards the east country, and go down to the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. What did Jesus say? Out of thy belly shall flow rivers of living water. And there shall be very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river comes. That's your ministry. That's what he wants to flow out of you. There is something in God's plan. Not everybody's called to pulpit ministry, but you are called to life. You are called to minister. Let that living water flow out of you. There is something in his mind for your life. And when it starts to come out of you, everything it touches will live. Everything it touches will be healed. And you'll be going, how did this happen? Well, it's because the rivers came forth. But now, let's back up. I want you to look at the process. I've been at this a long time. I'm not a novice at this praying in other tongues stuff. I've been at this a while. I was hearing messages in the early days like you're hearing me tonight. And it was encouraging me. And I thought, well, mate, you know, I had been baptized in the Holy Ghost for 12 years. I could chandai. I could pray along with anybody. But nobody ever said there was a reason to do it until I began listening to Pastor Dave Roberson. And he was saying how you activate that river, how you begin, is you let the Holy Ghost begin making that perfect intercession for your life. You don't know what's wrong with you. You don't know his plan for your life, but the Holy Ghost does. So he's going to take your little orphan hand. You know, you've been stumbling around trying your best to follow him, but you keep bumping into walls. He says, put your hand in the hand of the Holy Ghost and let him begin making intercession for you according to the will of God. And he'll start bringing you right into God's perfect will. And in the context of tonight, it'll be that eventually you'll get to that rivers of living water. It's your ministry, whatever it is God wants to do through you to bring a healing and life to the world. But look at this process. I have found it to be just like this. When people first hear this message and they jump in with both feet into the river, I know I did, man. I'm going to do this. I'm going to start praying a lot in other tongues, boy. And you start doing it. And notice it says, let's pick it up here in verse 3. When the man that had the line in his hand went forward eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Boy, that's a refreshing period of your life. That's when you first start this. And man, I'm telling you, but Sue and I for 12 years had been trying to serve the Lord, and it had been a rocky road. I just tell you, you know, it felt like a dusty, dry land, even though we would see results. Man, we started praying in other tongues, and it was glorious. It was refreshing at first. It's like your ankles are, you know, just in the water, and it was nice. It was okay, you know. But see, the Holy Ghost is not going to leave you right at the edge of the water. If you keep letting him make intercession for you, he's going to measure 1,000. He's going to say, now come on out here. Let me bring you out a little deeper into the water. So, a little deeper into the water. So look at verse 4. And he measured 1,000. And he brought me through the waters. And the waters were to the knees. Now, y'all live next to a really big river. Columbia River over here. Have you ever been in it? It's got a current, doesn't it? Now, ankle deep, you don't notice that current so much. But if you get out even to the knees, you start feeling that current against you. You're going, you know, this thing has a direction to it. That's what's going to start happening to you. You're going to start just getting the first little impression of direction of the Holy Ghost. He's going to start, You know, and you're not really familiar with it yet, but something in you says, if I keep going, that current's liable to, you know, you got to be careful, see, you know, I don't want to lose control of my life. Well, that's why a lot of people quit. That's why this is this way. See, because look what happens in verse 5. Again, he measured it. No, let's finish up verse 4. It says it to the knees. And again, he measured 1,000. And he brought me through. And the waters were to the loins. It's about waist deep. Now, you're really feeling the current now. If you're out there waist deep in that water, something in you is going, if I continue going deeper into this water, you know, right now my toes are still touching the ground. And while they are, perhaps I should go back to the bank. Perhaps this is far enough, no farther. Maybe I need to get out of here. This is why a lot of people, they abort at a certain point, because they will not relinquish their life completely to the Lord. They just won't do it. You know, it's like, okay, this much and no farther. And did you know that the Lord, all those people are going to heaven. We're not talking about making heaven here. We're talking about fulfilling your ministry here. See? And it's okay. A lot of them do that. We've had them leave by the hundreds. Prayer and fasting and change is not the most popular message in the United States of America. How you can make heaven and have all of the best toys. That's the gospel that everyone, you know, that where the biggest churches are, okay? But see, some of us are just crazy. Some of us want all that he has. I'm tired of running my life. I've been tired of running my life for a long time. Because look what happens now. If you continue on out there, you continue to let the Holy Ghost continue to measure 1,000. Eventually, now he goes all the way here. He says, now verse 5, again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in. A river that could not be passed over. So now let's take the imagery. The more you pray, can you tell? The Holy Ghost is bringing you deeper. He's bringing you out more. And this river, it's not a pond. This is a river. A river has a current. So he went directly from the loins. Let's take it more gradual. You're going out. You can feel that current getting stronger and stronger. The water is up to your chest. The water is up to the shoulders. And eventually, you know, if you keep going, now right now your tippy toes are still touching the bottom. You know, you're still touching the bottom. You've still got control. And at any point while you're still in that condition, you can say, I'm afraid, or I quit, or I give up. I want to go back at any point. But see what will happen? If you keep going, eventually you're not in control anymore, are you? See, eventually the river, first you had the river, but eventually the river has you. That's when Jesus truly becomes Lord. I mean, it's not that he wasn't before, but that's when, Lord, not my will, thine be done. I'll live where you want me to live. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. Just, Lord, take me where you want me. That's, and it's been my life experience. That's when the fun really begins. Now, it's fun. Jennifer's nodding. She knows what I'm talking about. It's fun and scary as all get out at the same time. Because your natural mind does. It wants to be in control of everything. It wants to make every decision. It wants to be perfectly in control. It doesn't like this not being able to touch the river bottom thing at all. But see, we're not supposed to be led by our soul. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit of the living God. Supposed to let, just like the 12, what did they do? When they left to follow Jesus, they went where he said go. They did what he said do. And we have that same leadership available to us today, but it's not from his physical lips to our physical ear. It's from his mind through the Spirit to your spirit and then to your mind. Amen. Yeah, at the moment you're praying, your understanding's unfruitful, but trust me, it doesn't stay unfruitful. As your spirit receives these revelations, I like to do it this way. Y'all remember in the type and shadow of the Old Testament, you had the outer court, you had the inner court, then you had the Holy of Holies. Well, the outer court represents the flesh, the inner court represents your soul, but that Holy of Holies, that's the real you, that's the spirit. That's the part of you in Ephesians 4 that says when you were born again, that new man was created in righteousness and true holiness. God made by His grace a holy of holies on the inside of you. You couldn't make yourself holy. He made it. It's called the new nature. And what happens there, it's the pattern is like in the Old Testament. Your soul cannot go past the middle court, the inner court. It's not allowed in the Holy of Holies. Your spirit is the one that goes behind that veil, goes into the Holy of Holies. While you're praying in unknown tongues, remember it said over there in 1 Corinthians 2, that spirit to spirit, you're being taught directly by the Holy Ghost. Your spirit can go right into that Holy of Holies because it's holy just like God. God made it. And you're praying in other tongues. And basically, your soul, your intellect, the me, you know, your soul, it has to pull up a chair, sit outside the curtain. It can hear the praying. You know, when you're praying in other tongues, your soul can hear that, but it can't understand that. It's sitting there in a chair outside the curtain. It's going, oh, brother. Doesn't understand anything that's going on. It's looking around saying, I wish I'd have brought Field and Stream magazine or something. And, you know, and that's why now I bring my Bible. Most of the time when I pray in other tongues, you know, I'm giving my soul something to do. Well, if I'm praying the mysteries of God's Word, I'll just let my soul read God's Word, you know. But yeah, that's why it seems so boring, so like time stands still. I remember the first time I ever tried to pray 2 hours in other tongues. I said, sure, that sounds pretty easy. I'll come over and do that. I wanted to go with Michael to the prisons. This was in the early days. He didn't understand praying in tongues like Pastor Dave did, but he had a revelation enough to know that when you pray in other tongues, it's the Holy Ghost doing the praying. So he says, if you want to go with me to the prisons on Thursday, you got to come and pray 2 hours with me on Tuesday nights. And I said, well, sure, that sounds easy. First time I ever went and tried to pray for 2 hours, you know, pray, Shanda Labako. Here you just, you know, look at your watch. 5 minutes, oh my God. That was the longest 2 hours of my life. But sure enough, when we went to the prisons, things would happen. See? Praying the perfect will of God, praying and praying. Well, this introductory message that I'm doing to you tonight, I have been at this a long time. I am not a novice. When I do that, it's because it's direct instruction. I probably would never do it. Keep your ear till dawn. When I first started doing this, I had been a Christian for 12 years, but at that point in our life, 45 years old, attending the prayer center, we weren't in ministry at all. I was a long-haul truck driver, which I loved that job, and if the Holy Ghost hadn't intervened, I'm sure I would have retired doing that because I just loved it. But I was in the perfect job for someone that wants to get paid to pray. I mean, I'm just stuck in the cab of that truck anyway, 40, 50, 60 hours a week. You know, and I'd listen to Dave's messages. I'd teach him along these lines that I'm teaching you tonight. I'd listen to it, and I'd check it out in the Bible, and boy, it just seemed right. So I made a decision one day. I said, all right, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to turn off the CB radio. I'm going to turn off the country web radio, you know. And Lord, I'm just going to make this the cab of this truck my prayer closet. And if I'm in this truck, I'm just going to be praying. That sounds real easy, you know. It is easier than trying to do it just sitting in a closet or sitting somewhere, because at least your mind can watch the scenery go by and that type of thing. But what would happen in the early days, my mind would drift, you know, and pretty soon I wouldn't be praying. I'd catch myself, and all you can do is, oops, sorry, Lord, just start back. But I'm telling you, you can train yourself. I got to where, and to this day, if I touch the steering wheel, I start praying in other tongues. It's just, you know. Well, sure enough, exactly what David taught me and what I saw in the Word, I began understanding things. And I couldn't understand how I understood them. Sometimes it was we'll get into some of that maybe later in the week, but the Holy Ghost started teaching me things. I started understanding difficult passages. And I had a lot of wrong doctrine in me, a lot more than I would have thought. If you'd have asked me, I'd have thought, I'm okay. You know, I wasn't okay. There was a lot of stuff that I thought that was absolutely wrong. And the Holy Ghost began to just blast that out of the inside of me. Now, I've got about 5 minutes here. I'm going to let you go. Let me tell you, I've been at it a while now. I eventually got into the river. Even though I loved that job, eventually it was time to leave that job. And he had a ministry for us to do. It started out really, really small. You know, the Bible says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. It started really, really small. We kept obeying him, kept praying, kept going out further and further. I want to in just a short amount of time. First, he had to start doing ministry out of our house. Then he had to start doing ministry at the prayer center. Then he started having us travel all around the United States and Canada preaching. Then that river, I never would have dreamed it. It's taken us to Europe. It's taken us to Africa. It's taken us to South Korea 6 years in a row. We have preached on every kind. I have preached in churches with thousands of people. I have preached in churches with five. I have preached in expensive churches where you just don't even want to touch the wood because it's too polished, you know. And I've preached on the Serengeti and the African to the Zulus. I mean, the river is wonderful. Who would have ever dreamed? How would I have known way back then in the trucks, oh God, please, I'm praying that you take me to South Korea. How would I ever know to pray something like that? I didn't have any idea that I was a teacher in the body of Christ. How did you find out? The Holy Ghost told me. He knows what your calling is. He'll find out. You'll find out what you are. You'll find out what He's called you to do. But that river, I never would have dreamed it would have taken me where it's taken me. And now it's taken me to Othello, Washington. Glory to God. See, and I'm excited about that. Hey, the first little church that He ever sent me to, the littlest church, I mean, it was like less than 15 people there, I think. That's where that woman got healed of cancer that the doctors had already sent her home to die. And she got healed in ministry today. Hey, I'll go to any little church, if, you know, let God heal anybody at any time. Amen? I just want to encourage you tonight. Jesus says, if you're already born again, you've got that well on the inside of you. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have access to the river. I'm encouraging you, begin to let that river start flowing out of you. The first step of it, not the end of it, but the first step of it. Begin to let the Holy Ghost pray those mysteries. Begin to let those syllables come out of you. It's a language that only He can say because He's the only one that knows the plan. He's the only one that knows what's wrong with you. He is, I like to say it, He is smarter than we are dumb. He's better at what He does than we are bad at what we do. And if you'll give Him a chance, if you'll just give Him a chance, He will get you into the perfect will of God. Did you get anything out of that? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.